Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to episode 77 of Mazen Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Mazen Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me once again this week is Greg Karam. Greg, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm not watching the Derek Jeter Love Fest, so I can answer our listeners' emails about GCL players. Looking forward to that.
I'd much rather be doing that.
Myself as well. That'll be later in the show, though. First things first, we have to name the episode. And it's episode 77, and it is really our last opportunity until episode 99 to name it after a Mets player. I haven't done that in a while, so I figured I would take the opportunity as it arose. And this will be, tying in the theme of the show, DJ Carrasco spins all your favorite first half hits from 2014. Only Met Tour 77, and in that vein, we'll start with a question, Greg. What would be your personal walk-up slash at-bat slash warm-up music if you were a baseball player?
Wow, that question comes out of left field, but...
I did not prep you for this, I apologize. Just so the listener, full disclosure, we didn't have a conversation about this before we started recording or anything.
Right, but just like...
But this is, I feel like this is something you should have pretty much loaded at all times.
Right, like any other person who listens to or watches baseball and listens to people's walk-up music, and I've considered it. And you know, I'm a child in the '90s. I grew up in the '90s. So, Rage Against the Machine, Wake Up. You know, it's got a good intro.
It's very '90s.
Get you some juice, and you know, that's what I would go with. I had that one queued up. I definitely would. I didn't need to be prepped for that question.
I feel that's a very baseball player answer too. Mine is not a very baseball player answer. and I've always taken it from the pitching standpoint. I was a much, much better pitcher than a hitter when I was younger. So I generally, my default answer here is Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers. And that's really the 1-2, you know, sort of the counting it off and the driving guitar line coming out from the bullpen.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. That fits that role better.
The reason I bring it up too, I was in Norwich this weekend to watch the Brooklyn Cyclones play, and I always forget that I didn't go there last year. It was the same weekend last year. I was at Futures at City. That's why I couldn't go. But they do this thing where they have, like, quote unquote, I guess, like, embarrassing walk up music they use for the visiting team. So it's like Fancy and Careless Whisper and Call Me Maybe and whatever else. They've used the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme in the past. But they only have like 8 songs. They rotate it after like a weekend of it. You're just absolutely sick and tired of Careless Whisper.
That's good though.
Which is funny because was Josh Reddick using that like unironically as his walk up music earlier this year? I feel like.
I have no idea, but
I think I recall that happening.
Yeah, it did happen.
Yeah. And I guess on another note, what's your favorite current walk-up music on the Mets? Or warm-up music, however you want to.
It's so funny you say it, because like, I was just thinking earlier why that Forever Young song was stuck in my head.
That's because, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just, I'm like singing it to myself, and I'm like, why is this in my head? And it was probably because I was looking on the Fangraphs page, and like that just kind of seeped into my brain. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy that David Wright went back to I Got Five on it.
Did he? I haven't been, it was still the right stuff for the games I went to in April.
Oh, yeah. I think he switched back to it.
Didn't he use that? He should go back to Brass Monkey, frankly.
I think that people should have more fun with it, unless you're Justin Turner. Like, I just couldn't stand him last year.
I think mine's, I still, like, something about Murphy using Shipping Up to Boston.
Yeah.
Works for me, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's topping Dickie using the Game of Thrones theme, like, ever. It's just not happening. I think that's the first game he did that at. We were all just, like, freaking out. And it was one of the baseball perspectives days. We were all just freaking out in center field.
I was a little surprised that Ike Davis is still doing the Rolling Stones song. Because it just seems so, I don't know, just lame at this point.
Didn't he tweak it at some point when he was slumping? Because he has, doesn't he have multiple ones? Because they don't always have it the same. Like, Murphy uses some, like, ridiculous Evanescence song for his third at bat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Murphy has, like, three or four, or two or three, I think.
These are the kinds of things that, like, I don't necessarily file away every time I hear it, you know?
Yeah, some guys have multiple ones. But I can't think of him. But he, I think Murphy has three. I can't remember what his third one is, though. But I really like, cause I know he'll use shipping up to Boston twice if he gets four at bats. So yeah, I really like shipping up to Boston. Just the opening of it really kind of gets you, like, it feels very Metsian to me now at this point. Maybe because Murph's been so long, been using it for so long. When I'm like at Mets games, it sort of just stands out to me because he's used it throughout most of his career at this point.
Yeah, I still think of like The Departed every time I hear that song.
See, I'm not a big Departed fan, so it just doesn't register with me the same way.
I probably watched it too many times in syndication.
Yeah, it's been one of those. I guess it's already one of those movies. It's just.
It just like rolls.
It's gonna be on like TBS at 2 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that way about Chronicles of Riddick. I have occasional bouts of insomnia, and it seemed like there was a period of time when I was going through a pretty bad one a couple of years ago, where like 2 a.m. Chronicles of Riddick was always on TBS or TNT, one of them. So I would just stay up and watch Chronicles of Riddick. And that other, what's that, The Negotiator?
With Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, and Samuel L. Jackson? Yeah, that one, that was the my previous bout of insomnia, was always The Negotiator.
I definitely watched that movie a lot, but like a long time ago and probably on HBO.
So the actual agenda for episode 77, playing in with the title, we're spinning all your favorite first half hits from 2014. Talk about some... Mets players we just haven't talked about much in the last, you know, the first half, in the first 10 or 15 podcasts of the season. I mean, there are some people we have talked a lot about. Daniel Murphy, John Neese, Ruben Tejada / the shortstop situation, Eric Young Jr. And there are some players we haven't. So we'll check in on some of the players we haven't talked about. Jacob deGrom, Juan Lagares, outside of the hashtag Free Lagares thing, which I'm upset did not make James K's forgotten first half storylines after I suggested it on the email list.
Yeah.
Well, a little disappointed. I mean, I get it's more of a Mets Twitter thing, but...
It's true. That's true. You have to be involved in Mets Twitter to understand some of that stuff.
I guess that's fair. Yeah. Then I'll talk a little bit about my trip to Norwich. I say trip. It's like 35 minutes from my apartment, but counts as a trip. To see some of the Brooklyn Cyclones. And then we're going to keep it in prospect land, have a little... This is not a mid-season list, because I'm morally opposed to mid-season lists. Philosophical debate. Who's number two in the Mets system right now? Looks like Syndergaard might get a look, but probably won't graduate from prospectdom. He won't reach 50 innings, basically, for the accountants out there. So who's the number two prospect in the Mets system right now? That would be a discussion point, and then we will answer your emails, which include emails about a GCL dude I literally have never heard of.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah, that's probably true. But we'll kick things off with our first half, quote-unquote, review, since we're doing a second half preview for our live show this weekend, which, assuming I can figure out how to record it, and I think I can, you'll be hearing next week as the podcast, as it were. I figured we should wrap up the first half, as we're in the All-Star break, by talking about some of the players and storylines that didn't get a fair shake on the podcast so far this season. And I want to start off with Jacob deGrom, who I think got mentioned when he was called up initially, and really not so, sort of a secondary to Montero, who was called up roughly at the same time. And really hasn't gotten a fair shake, and he's been pitching pretty well lately, Greg.